This football season, from the office to happy hour, every Friday is Fan Friday. Visit Dick's Sporting Goods for the largest selection of authentic Reebok NFL apparel. And wear your team out. Every season starts at Dick's.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, Oscar De La Hoya says those internet photos of him in a fishnet bodysuit, they're fake. What do you think?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. All I know is fishnet bodysuits, they're out. I haven't worn one in months. I have not.
Okay, so do I need to go to the internet now, Google your name, go back to maybe February and find you in fishnet bodysuits?
I don't think it was an internet photo shoot.
Oh, I bet there's some internet photos.
I think it was only for foreign press. And that's what I think. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Red Sox are struggling. Devin Hester challenges the Cowboys, and T.O. gets fined. But we begin today with Donovan McNabb. In an 11-minute exchange with the Philadelphia media yesterday, McNabb stood by the position he articulated on HBO's Real Sports, that black quarterbacks face a higher level of scrutiny and criticism than white quarterbacks. What's new today is that not all black NFL quarterbacks agree. The Titans' Vince Young said, quote, that is his opinion. I really feel like myself, black or white quarterbacks, we all go through something because that is the life of a quarterback, unquote. And the Redskins' Jason Campbell said that he faced higher expectations in college, but, quote, I don't feel that way now in the NFL, unquote. Wilbon, what do you think?
I'm glad, grateful, that Donovan McNabb had the guts to stand by his statement, to back it up and say, here's what I feel.
Oh, you knew he was standing
Donovan
by.
Because Donovan McNabb, I'm glad. You know, because these other two kids are in their early 20s,
right.
Okay? And we know what happens with youngsters of that age now, regardless of whether they play sports or not. They know what happened today. And apparently Vince Young, who also said that, this is not my fight to fight, really now. No, it isn't your fight to fight. Because guys like James Harris and Marlon Briscoe and Joe Gillum and Doug Williams and Warren Moon, they fought the fight so that you self-absorbed young punk, don't have to fight the fight. So even if you have to say, you know what, I haven't had this treatment, but I acknowledge what came before me,
yeah.
I want to hear that from the young quarterbacks. And they're great players, they're great talents. I want to hear a fuller conversation, and thankfully Donovan McNabb started
operative word, young quarterbacks.
Young.
They may not know all these things. Donovan McNabb, in his early 30s now, knows all these things.
Yes.
I agree with Donovan McNabb about higher level of scrutiny, but not in all cases. Rex Grossman, Eli Manning get shredded routinely. I think David Carr, Joey Harrington, guys like that. Donovan McNabb, and I think he knows this, he's a big star. He is a multiple-time Pro Bowl guy, and he's playing in a city that dissects people. And I think he's all right with that. I think he gets that stuff.
But here's what I'm more concerned about. I want the young quarterbacks, because they're the future of this league, black or white. But specifically, they have an obligation, okay? Not to anyone else, but the people who came before them, Tony. So I don't want to hear Vince Young say,
Here's my fight to fight. Here's what I suspect, that by tonight, somebody will help them with that education,
yeah.
And by tomorrow, they'll be a little bit more appreciative of the people who went down that road before.
That's all I think that Donovan McNabb wants.
But to be fair to them, it's possible that they haven't faced this.
And by the way, I'm glad there's so much progress that they haven't
faced it.
But know what came before you. That's my real issue with this. Memorial Day weekend began with the Boston Red Sox leading the New York Yankees by 14.5 games in the standings. Today, the Red Sox lead the Yankees by 1.5 games with 10 days left in the regular season. Because the Sox are comfortably ahead in the wild card chase and will almost certainly make the playoffs, there's very little talk of a signature collapse. But Tony, for weeks you and I have said the Red Sox were the better team, but right now, who you got? Yanks or Sox?
Right now, today, I think I've got the Yankees. Both teams have great everyday lineups. The jeopardy the Yankees had was starting pitching. There was a series a few weeks ago in which the Yankees swept the Red Sox. Chen Ming Wong pitched very well, and Andy Pettit pitched very well, and Roger Clemens has, 350 wins or something like that. And suddenly Mike Mussina, who was done.
Mike Mussina is back from the dead.
He won two games.
Good starts.
So right now, I like the Yankees.
The reason I thought the Red Sox were better all summer is because of starting pitching.
Yeah.
The Red Sox had
and deeper
the
starting
Yankees
pitching.
Didn't. And you know what, Tony? Rarely, when your starting pitching doesn't come around in May and June, and you got to get to July, does the starting pitching ever come around in that season? But it has.
It has.
Who do I have? It's a dead heat. I don't know who
That's
I got.
Fair.
I want to see how this plays out. But I think, again, I know we disagree on this. I think because of the Red Sox, the whole psyche of New England and their makeup as it pertains specifically to the Yankees, I think the Yankees passing the Red Sox after a 14.5 game lead, I think that will cause some damage.
By the way,
I do.
I think that right now, that the American League may have the four best teams in baseball, just like the AFC has the best teams in the NFL. Apparently, the Cowboys are afraid of Devin Hester. The Cowboys have a great punter in Matt McBrier, but the word out of Dallas is that McBrier won't kick to Hester in the Cowboys-Bears game this Sunday. This has Hester furious, quote, "This is the NFL. Kick it to me and play football. Don't be scared," unquote.
Scared.
Wilbon, is it unmanly to kick away from your boy, Devin Hester?
Yeah, it is. And the Cowboys, America's team, the big star on their helmet, they're always flexing and running their mouths. The Cowboys for generations, be a man. Kick the Devin Hester. You know how you stop him? Tackle him.
You know,
stop him.
I don't want to get too technical because it's essentially a sports show. Scurry. And I don't want to use words that the average people can't understand. But if you were to kick to Devin Hester, there is a word that you would be. You'd be an idiot. You'd be an idiot because he is from another planet. He is the best kick returner. Tony Dungy kicked to him on the first play of the Super Bowl. What happened? What happened?
7-0.
That's exactly right. So why would pitching to Barry Bonds in 2003?
You know,
why would you do
I'm
it?
I'm consistent on this position.
Why?
I believe you pitched to Barry Bonds carefully.
No, you pitch around.
Carefully. Come on.
Wait.
What is sports but challenge? Just a challenge of the best people out there. Challenge Devin Hester.
I'm going to answer
this. Kick the ball high. Punt it high. Make them not return
this.
It. What?
Why do we play?
To win the game.
We play to win
But we
win
have to win our individual battles in order to win the game.
You're crazy.
And we have to build an emotional
By the way,
and mental
the
toughness.
The Bears benefit when they don't kick to them because they get better field position.
You know what?
So
they often kick it out of bounds. It can start the 40. Yeah,
if Rex plays well.
Let me ask you something. Who would you rather have in charge of putting points on the board? Hester?
Devin Hester's great.
Or the quarterback?
Devin Hester's great.
Yes, you'd rather have Devin Hester. So would I. Terrell Owens has been fined $7,500 for his touchdown celebration in Miami Sunday. T.O. was very topical with his end zone commentary, poking fun at the Patriots' videotaping scandal. Now, even if the NFL bosses had the sense of humor up there, and of course they don't, they stuck to the letter of their rule and fined T.O. for using the ball as a prop. T.O. said, quote, "I'm like Bill Belichick, I misinterpreted the rule." Ha! Tony, should what T.O. did even be a finable offense?
That line about Belichick was brilliant.
Yes.
This whole thing was brilliant. He picked the biggest story in sports, and he lampooned it. Okay, now, look, we both agree he's a narcissist. But he's done this before. He showed great guts when he did the Ray Lewis dance right in front of Ray Lewis. He showed great humor when he did the pom-pom thing. You know, not only shouldn't they have fined him, they should have awarded him $150,000 for getting it. He got it.
I'm in a lot of ways critical of T.O.
This time he got it.
But but never when it comes to his ability to find out what's funny and just poke it and lampoon it, or his toughness. I ain't going to question those two things about Terrell Owens.
He'll go across the middle.
He does whatever. But in this case, you knew the league was going to find him.
Okay.
And you knew, Tony, I wonder if the league smirked as they find him or if they were annoyed. Because the rest of us are laughing with
T.O. Chad Johnson's celebrations. I think he's a more fun-loving guy than T.O.
He's more appropriate.
But T.O. got this.
Right on the money.
Got it. Floyd Landis had his day in court, and it didn't work out all that well. A 3-judge panel voted 2-1 against Landis's appeal of his doping citation. So the 2-year ban against Landis will hold up, and he will indeed be stripped of his 2006 Tour de France title. Landis reportedly spent $2 million on his legal efforts. Wilbon, will Floyd Landis please now mercifully go away?
Well, we'd like him to go away.
Go away.
Here's my problem with anything regarding Floyd Landis.
Goodbye.
He's not worthy of the spotlight. Neither is the Tour de France, because we've seen, I know that Lance Armstrong made it so, but the whole event has gotten to the point, it has fallen, it has crashed to the point that Landis, Tony, nothing Landis can do should absorb as much time as it has over the past 2 years.
It's a fringe sport, and as long as Lance is away, I'm going to go away from this. But here's what Landis said. He said, "I am innocent, and we proved I am innocent." And I agree, except for the fact that you didn't prove
anything.
Innocent because I said you were guilty.
But I feel a little dirty even bothering with this guy. This guy should get no time. This guy is not worthy of any time,
you
anywhere.
You put him in the O.J. class?
No. I'm not going to say he's engaging.
Of O.J.
I am sick of him.
He had so much testosterone in him that if he were drained of this testosterone, thousands of people could have gotten their daily share.
Thousands.
Let's take a break. Hey. When we come back, Wilbon's Cubs are a game up. Are they ahead to stay, or are they just toying with his fragile psyche? And is Tony La Russa leaving St. Louis for Seattle? Is that out there?
He just won a World Series last year. One bad season, he's out of St. Louis.
Let's get to the tight baseball races with our PTI Baseball Authority, Richard Justice of the Houston Chronicle.
Richie!
Hello, Richie.
Hello, men.
Lou Piniella called last night's Cubs win the most important of the season until the next one, right?
Well, I think that was the most important one because he had taken a big gamble. He had started Carlos Zambrano and Ted Lilly's two best pitchers on 3 days rest to set up his rotation for the rest of the way, and he got off the hook with doing it. Zambrano had gotten beaten the night before, and last night they went on a fielder's choice. They learned that Ben Sheets is not going to pitch anymore for the Brewers or is going to be out for a while. The Brewers had lost to the Astros, and now they're set up down the stretch. Their
Don't
number five
say
starter.
It. Don't it, say it, Richie. It.
Their number five starter goes only one more time. Look, and their bullpen is great. Carlos Marmol is the
Marmol's
best.
Great.
He is the best reliever in baseball right now. Bob Howery's pitching good. Dempster's okay if, you know, if the
Don't
lead's
not. Don't forget Kerry Wood hitting 96 on the gun.
Okay, wait. If the lead's not one run, he's fine. So now they've got it down to a six-inning game. They are rolling right now. They feel good about things. They ought to be confident and cocky. That was a big one. Now it's set up for them.
You know, you just killed us. I'm going to have to kill you later.
And there's a goat and, you know, all that.
Let's get to the Brewers, Richie, who were in Houston. I know you saw those guys. How confident, despite losing Sheets indefinitely right now, I think it's a hamstring, how confident are they of their chances?
Well, in their heart of hearts, they can't be confident at all. Look at the schedule. They finished with Atlanta and San Diego, and San Diego may need to win those games. How would you like to go against Jake Peavy and Greg Maddux on the final weekend? It's not set up for them. I didn't think, I mean, if you'd asked me a month ago, or if somebody had asked you guys a month ago, can they win without Ben Sheets? Ben Sheets was their acquisition down the stretch, and now he's gone again. I don't know that they can win without him, and the schedule works against them.
Padres, D-backs, they're in a very tight race. Tony knows nothing about either team, so Richie, tell him who's going to win.
I know everything about both teams.
Tell him who's going to win.
Okay, the Padres, listen, here's what you need to know. The Diamondbacks have done a great job. Jeff Morad, the former agent, has put together a young nucleus. Chris Young, Stephen Drew, people like that. They have Brandon Webb, maybe the second or third best pitcher in the National League. The Padres are pitching. The Padres have Jake Peavy, who's going to win the National League Cy Young Award. They have Greg Maddux. They're ready to go. They pitch in a pitching-friendly ballpark. They're good. These are both really good teams. They could win it all. You know, they can go all the way. They're not going to surprise anybody. Inside the game, they're very respected for the way they put those clubs together. And it begins with two great pitchers, Peavy and Webb.
Let me get to something that was sort of a stunner when I heard it just a little while ago. Rumors that Tony La Russa could be headed to the Mariners. He issued a sort of a non-denial denial. Do you see La Russa going to Seattle?
No. I do see, I see a part of him being tugged back to the West Coast. That's where his home is. I understand that. I do not see him managing any place but the Cardinals. I think he's either going to retire or come back. He likes to play it out like this. I think he wouldn't like me saying this, but I don't think he dislikes the attention that this brings, the drama that brings to him. But in the end, I think he's only going to manage for the Cardinals, and I would be stunned if Walt Jocketty's not the general manager and Tony La Russa's not the manager next year. But like all of us, you know, he gets tempted sometimes, and his home is on the West Coast. But I think in his heart of hearts, despite everything they've gone through, the season of injuries, the criticism, at times he seemed like he's about close to a meltdown. The last time I talked to him, he was very fired up about the team, and then injuries just killed him. I think he's a Cardinal at heart and will remain a St. Louis Cardinal.
All right, you mentioned La Russa's home on the West Coast. Let's stay on the West Coast. One more question, Richie, about something West. Tim Kawakami is writing in the San Jose Mercury News today that the Giants are silent about Barry Bonds for a reason, obviously implying that they're done with him. Is he done as a Giant?
They are done with him, and I think they made that decision weeks ago. I think Barry tried to ingratiate himself with some of the minority ownership people, but from Brian Sabian and Peter McGowan and those people, it's over. They're going to rebuild the team. They're going to have that money to spend elsewhere. I don't know where he's going to play next year. I don't know who would want to sign him, but Barry will not be back with the Giants. That is not going to happen.
All right, we'll get you out of here on this. You show a lot of enthusiasm for some of the teams in the National League. We haven't talked that much about the American League at the moment. Who do you like in the World Series?
I like the New York Yankees, and I like the Chicago Cubs. And believe me, if that's the matchup, there will be a certain friend of you guys in Milwaukee, Bud Selig, who'll be plenty happy about
goodness.
That. And Wilbon will be there, I hope.
Yeah, I won't be sitting here with him.
Thank you for joining us, Richard.
Thanks, Richie.
Thank you, guys.
We're taking a break. When we come back, Bill Belichick bristled when asked whether the Patriots could go 16-0. Is it an insane question? And O.J. prosecutor Marcia Clark, she's got a new look.
Does she? I can't get over Richie just said Cubs Yankees. Cubs, Yankees. Whoa. That used to happen. That happened two or three times in the 30s and 40s.
Oh, did it?
30s and 40s. Oh, maybe 35.
Time for the game that I dominate but sadly never win because I get cheated. Oddsmakers. Let's get the first one from our host, Anthony Joseph Dan Rather Reality.
First, the chance is the Patriots go 16-0.
All right, I'm the guy who said they would go 19-0.
Yeah.
A reporter asked Belichick about this, and Belichick said that is ridiculous.
Of course it is.
They are at Dallas. They are at Indianapolis. They are at Baltimore. They have Pittsburgh at home and Washington at home.
You're going to stick by your statement of earlier weeks, 19-0. Are you or are you not?
Because I'm not an idiot. I am going to.
You said it.
5%.
Okay, there's 0%. It hasn't happened since 1972 in a 14-game season. The
right.
Dolphins won the playoff games, went 17-0. It's been 35 years. The Dolphins come, I don't know, week four or week six or whenever they play these road games, would be clinking the champagne glasses because nobody at Cincinnati, they could lose that game. They could lose.
5%.
They're not 0% chance going undefeated.
Next.
You had them going 19-0 about 3 weeks ago. Now you're 5%
backsliding. I'm not an idiot.
He's like
you're
the second
I love you. Next, the chance is Spurrier upsets LSU Saturday.
Okay, this game is at LSU.
At
now,
LSU.
I love Spurrier. I watched a couple of weeks ago when his team beat Georgia. I know that he's beaten Tennessee. I know that he's beaten Florida. But let me give you one statistic that's impressive. LSU's three wins this year. They have outscored their opponents 137-7.
Yeah.
Let me repeat that. Yeah. 137-7.
And one of them was Votek, a pretty good team.
That's right. As much as I love Spurrier.
What percent?
5%.
Are you stuck on 5?
5%.
What helps Spurrier in this case, having gone on the road and won between the hedges, and that's a very
big
difficult
win.
Place to play. What helps Spurrier, and the reason I'm going to give him a 20% chance, is because that game at LSU is in the daytime. In the nighttime, in
the night air. No
and the Bengal Tigers never lose those big games. In the daytime, 20% chance for Spurrier.
Next.
Next NFL chance is the Packers beat the Chargers this weekend.
The Packers are at home. That helps them. But it's unlikely to snow in Green Bay this weekend. There has to be a statement game for the Chargers. Have run their yaps. Look, the Packers beat the Eagles on two muff punts. Then they beat up the Giants, which means they are tied for first in the NFC East. If the Chargers are what they say they are, it's a breakthrough game.
If.
I am going,
if.
Watch this reality,
what?
5%.
I'm going 60% chance. I am
really?
Outright picking the Packers to beat the Chargers. The Chargers spent the first 2 weeks running off the mouth.
Right.
They won the first game, an impressive victory, but they didn't play very well. And then last
60%?
Week, they got a beat down.
You got the Packers.
I got the Packers winning the game.
I got five.
Straight up. 60%.
I got
NFC Central by a couple teams, too.
Next.
I'm sensing a theme here, boss.
Yeah.
Not too creative, but I'm sensing a theme.
I think
next.
It's very creative.
The chance is the Irish lose again on Saturday.
All right. To be fair, the chances the Irish lose again, even at home against the relatively inconsequential Michigan State team, are way more than 5%. And even I understand that. However, I don't think Michigan State's all that good. I think this would be a great, great win for Charlie Weiss. I sense that their chances of losing are not that great. In fact, I'll go only to 35% because I will pick them to win.
35%, huh?
Yes.
I'm going to go lower. And I'm going to say the Irish chances of losing this week are 5%. They're going to score to upset 14-point underdogs. Come on, under the Golden Dome. They're not going to lose this game.
5%.
I know everybody thinks they're going to lose this game and go 0-4, but they've had to spend a whole week here in this junk. 5% chance.
Next.
I like this, Wilbon. Strategery. All right, last one. The chance is that maybe Marcia Clark has had, possibly, potentially, a little work done.
I'm going higher than most people go. I'm going 1,000%.
Come on.
Okay?
She's older.
Got her eyes done. She's got her cheek implants. She's got her hair done.
She's older.
She's a TV clown now, just like I am, and I haven't been smart enough to get any work done. 1,000%.
This should show you what happens if you get a new haircut and some styling.
I don't have any hair.
What if you get the rest of it cut off? Maybe you too will look younger.
1,000%.
I'm going to say there's a 95% chance that Miss Clark had, but she looks older. She didn't do anything ridiculous. She's 54 years old. She looks 58.
Recap.
You know, Wilbon, be a man and go to 100 here or don't go at all. That's all I'm saying. So even with your strategery,
Winner, Anthony Owens.
All right, it's about time.
Who cares?
We're taking a break.
Who cares
when
he
we come back? Is Apu done for the year?
Who's that?
Just like the Cardinals.
Apu?
Apu.
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 Okay.
Not A-Rod, Apu.
Well,
you got to say it that way. Apu.
If they were in the race right now, he would not be done. He'd still be playing. But they're out.
Apu.
Hated Cardinals. Out.
Pardon the interruption. Presented by Guinness Draft Stout. Drink responsibly.
Oh, you're back. Well, in that case, we should probably do more stuff. Happy 56th birthday, Guy Lafleur. We don't do much with hockey, but Lafleur was one of the all-time greats for the Montreal Canadiens. Two NHL MVPs and five Stanley Cups. Boys and girls, you know what Lafleur means? The flower.
Also, he scored 560 goals, Tony. I didn't know, however, that 39 players in the NHL have 500 or more. Still a lot of goals when he played.
Some people have 800. Happy anniversary, Billie Jean King. On this day, 34 years ago, Billie Jean King beat Bobby Riggs in straight sets to win the Battle of the Sexes. Riggs, of course, insisted he threw the match and bet on King. Billie Jean King did as much for women's rights in that one match than any other athlete ever.
Billie Jean King is one of the greatest heroes in American sports history, but that match was bogus. Riggs was 55 years old. What are you talking about?
Happy trails, Albert Pujols. The Cardinals slugger might be shut down for the year with a strained left calf. This shouldn't be a big deal because the Cards are out of the race, but Pujols has a major league record, six straight years to begin a career with a .300 batting average, 30 homers, 100 runs scored, and 100 driven in. And if he's done today, that streak will end since he has just 93 runs and 95 RBI. Well, but that's a great streak.
Yes, it is, but his greatness doesn't need to be validated by somebody stringing together a bunch of numbers.
Great streak. Period. Trying to find out we messed up reality.
Thanks for that French lesson with Lafleur, by the way, boss. I thought you were an English major, but no, you cease to amaze me. Don't you accuse Floyd Landis of having high testosterone levels. Not exactly true. He had high epitestosterone levels, so his ratios were all out of whack. You don't need to concern yourself with that because you won Oddsmaker today. You're the big man.
That's exactly right. Wilbon, give the people something to watch tonight.
You know what? I watched Back to You last night. Got back to an old sitcom. Did you like that?
It was all right.
It was all right. I wanted to be better. What are you going to watch tonight?
I'm on the bus to Atlanta tonight.
You got ATVs on the bus.
Yeah, I might watch some Springsteen concert videos. We're taking a break. There's more PTI to come, including tonight's college game.
Back in a few minutes. Until then, let's toss it up to SportsCenter.
Good night, Canada. Might watch Ann Murray videos.
She's Canadian.
He's Canadian. That's why I said that. Neil Young also. Welcome back to the PTI program. Okay, Wilbon, what will happen first, a Notre Dame win or a Patriots loss?
Notre Dame has been so bad that you tend to look way down the schedule. You look down where they play Navy and Air Force and Duke, and you think, okay, that's where they have to get away.
Duke, who couldn't beat Duke?
Let's not go there.
Who couldn't beat Duke?
And you look at the Patriots. The Patriots have a tough schedule. But Notre Dame's a 14-point underdog at home this week to Michigan State. And Charlie Weiss and his players have to be sick and tired of hearing all they've heard for 3 weeks. I'm actually going to pick Notre Dame to beat Michigan State at home, though a 14-point underdog.
Ding, ding, ding. We've got a winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if they don't win this, it could be forever.
How far? How far are you
got
them going?
I got them 0-8 if they don't win this. I think they can beat Navy or Air Force.
At Purdue, lost.
Lost.
At UCLA,
lost.
BC at home,
lost.
SC,
lost.
Navy.
Yeah, I think they can win it.
You know the last time Navy beat Notre Dame?
It's got to be.
1963. Roger Staubach was the quarterback.
I was, what, 50 at that time? Here's why I don't like Michigan State. It's not I don't like Michigan State, but they're nothing special. In the last three-plus years, they're 17-21.
Yeah.
This year, they're 3-0, but they beat Pitt, Bowling Green, and UAB.
Big Ten is
that's
so
not, that's
bad
not
this
that
year.
Good.
Big Ten's
it's just
awful.
Not that good. So I like Notre Dame here. I think that New England's first chance to lose is at the Cowboys in their sixth
Wait a
game.
Minute. You're dismissing at Cincinnati on Monday Night Football?
We're going to do that game, but yes, I think New England will win that game. I
Those
do.
Those are the kinds of games Cincinnati wins after throwing away some other ridiculous game.
And then I think that they're at the Colts in Week 9, but I do like Notre Dame this
tough
week. Ready to go? 1 minute. Let's go to the Big Fish.
Let's do it.
Ken Griffey Jr. may miss the rest of the season with a strained lower ab. You saw it, didn't you?
I did. It was depressing seeing Jr. lying there writhing in Wrigley Field. He was really hurt, Tony, which is too bad. Steven Jackson of the Rams has apologized to his teammates for throwing a sideline tantrum Sunday. Your reaction?
Guy's a star. He's supposed to be better than that. Good. Reports say Johan Santana is closing on a multi-million dollar home in the Minneapolis area. Good news for Twins fans.
Yeah, because they apparently will get to keep one of the five best pitchers in baseball. Vladimir Guerrero might have to DH in the postseason. Is that a big deal?
It's a big deal if they get to the World Series because there's three or four
games. Triceps injury, that might be a big deal.
Swing cash, your girl. Blasted Bill Laimbeer for playing mind games with her. Your thoughts?
You think I'm going to disagree with Swing Cash and take Bill Laimbeer's
side?
No,
she's your girl.
No, that's not going to happen. Florida Gators landed the purported number one football recruit in the country. You surprised?
No, aren't they the defending national champions?
Yes, they are.
Why wouldn't it's they have a shot at that guy?
Recruiting, you're late bloomer. Who cares?
Last one, number 20, Texas A&M at Miami tonight. That's the U, I guess.
Who yes, the U. I think Miami could be a little bit on the rebound. I'm going to go with the U playing at home. How about that? Yeah. Over A&M.
Out of time, trying to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can catch PTI anytime at ESPN.com. Let's go back to Bristol.
Siding with Swin Cash, are you?
Always. Swin.
PTI.
If you like this edition of PTI, you may also like Around the Horn. All ESPN podcasts are free to download at the iTunes Music Store and on PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
PTI. Monday, St. Mary's School Uniform. Tuesday, St. Mary's School Uniform. Wednesday, St. Mary's School Uniform. Thursday, St. Mary's School Uniform. Friday, blue and red number 12. She's cute.
No matter where you are or what you're doing, every Friday this season is Dick's Sporting Goods Fan Friday. So wear your team out. Authentic Reebok licensed NFL apparel and gear available at Dick's Sporting Goods. Every season starts at Dick's.